No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Legal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba, for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. We say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show with Dave Manuk, struggling through some technical difficulties as he may be experiencing tonight. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about a very disappointing performance on home ice for the Winnipeg Jets. Fortunately, Dave, there weren't that many people there to see it. An announced crowd of 11,226.
Wow.
Which is a significantly low number of people in attendance. So that certainly is an area of concern, as was the performance on the ice tonight, particularly in the final 40 minutes for the Winnipeg Jets, a problematic defeat at the hands of the Los Angeles Kings. And now everybody waits to see if injury is added to insult and the status of Gabe Vilardi, who left the game very early on as well. Nice to see you, though. Nonetheless, how are things in Daveville?
Well, things are good, I think. The internet decided to take a little bit of a sleeper, so we're working here. Thankfully, we can back up through my phone, so we're powering through regardless, so we can bring you this broadcast. So hopefully my sound levels are working good, hopefully my internet is working well, and unlike the Jets, we are able to, you know, soldier on, Drew, and get through this broadcast and get to the end.
Yes, exactly right. We will power through as only we can. It started okay for the Winnipeg Jets. The first better period than okay. Certainly looked, mm-hmm. You know, like we've seen through the first two games, a team that was by and large in control of the pace of play, in control of the possession numbers, and then it certainly fell off a very steep cliff in periods two and three, and it was just a poor performance by the Winnipeg Jets is almost as simple as you can describe it, especially in those final 40 minutes. It looked like the LA Kings just took control of the game and the Jets had no response to speak of after, particularly after the 2-0 goal, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I think the fact of the matter is it was a very good, other than obviously the injury that we'll get mm-hmm. into, I mean, it was a very good first period for Winnipeg. And you would be looking at that opening 20 minutes and you think it may be 0-0, but that was a very, you know, solid period of play. And they kind mm-hmm. of continued over what they were doing against the Florida Panthers and, you know, controlling the puck and being fast and being aggressive. And then, you know, they, I don't know if there was a bit of a malaise that infected the dressing room after the intermission, but it just seemed that LA came out firing on all cylinders and the Winnipeg Jets did not. And there were just so many mistakes from defensemen just being like not in the right place at the right time and guys abandoning the front of the net and leaving the Kings alone. Hellebuck being beaten by shots that you're not expecting to see Connor Hellebuck beaten by. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a number of situations throughout the course of that game that you were wondering, what exactly are you seeing here? So, look, I mean, it wasn't a banner. We'd seen the Jets through two games, even though obviously they were 1-1 coming into tonight's affair, that they were playing a certain brand of hockey. And for the first 20 minutes, you thought that was going to continue. And then they weren't able to kind of raise up when a little bit of adversity struck and they needed to change up their lines and make some, you know, adjustments. And the Kings play a pretty frustrating style of hockey.
Oh,
the 1-3-1, which I think I've heard too much already about. Hopefully we won't have to talk about it for a while, but the fact is the Kings do what they do and you don't really notice them. And then all of a sudden they're imposing their will on the Jets and doing what they needed to do. So tough go of it overall. And obviously the Jets break in the shutout in the end, but they made Cam Talbot look like Patrick Waugh in certain points. And look, it just goes to show you how hockey is such a funny game because, mm-hmm. you know, when the Jets are shorthanded in the first period, they very easily could have, Mason Appleton could have scored. Adam Lowry could have followed that up. Rasmus Kupari had a chance. So there were a number of chances that had the Jets buried it, they could have changed the nature of the game. But of course, we don't live in coulda, woulda, shouldas, Drew, because we got to deal with the facts. And the facts say, or as Bruce Willis said, simply the fact, just the facts. But if, and as the facts say, the Jets end up losing this game 5-1.
Yeah, they do. And the LA Kings are not a team that you want to fall behind to, because they're a team that is very adept at, you know, at gumming up another team's chances. I mean, when you talk about the 1-3-1, the Kings play it very well. They know what they're doing. There's nothing flashy about them. They just know how to go back and retrieve a puck faster than you can, chip it in there and get after it. And I mean, Drew Doughty currently getting up there in years, and he's got a lot of tread on his tires, but he is a fantastic defenseman still. And, you know, he was just, you know, it just plays right into the hands of the LA Kings, a game like tonight, especially when the Jets go down by the 2-0 margin after 40 minutes. And then the third period, it just continues to slip away from them. You know, from the Winnipeg Jets perspective, the only good news is that I guess Pierre-Luc Dubois doesn't get the game-winning goal he scores with a minute 16 to go. It's the definition of window dressing. Doesn't mean anything. It's ultimately the game is out of hand, but I guess if you're looking for moral victories, that might count as one. But I'm certain that nobody in that Winnipeg Jets dressing room is celebrating that aspect. As you saw, you know, when Scheifele scored, there was no celebration, as there shouldn't be. You're down 5. You know, you're not going to start hooting and hollering. It's like the guy who gets the interception when you're down 42-0 in a football game. It doesn't really matter. There's no reason for you to be doing somersaults and cartwheels and things of that nature. It's back to the drawing board for the Winnipeg Jets tonight after this performance, simply. And there's not a lot of time to lick their wounds because, oh, look who's coming into town on Thursday night, the defending Stanley Cup champion.
By the way, currently undefeated defending Stanley Cup champions.
Right. Playing a believe the Dallas Stars tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
A game that's currently going on as we are talking here on the Illegal Curve post game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk with you on this Tuesday night. But yeah, you know, you have the Kings tonight. You have the Golden Knights on Thursday, and you got the Edmonton Oilers on Saturday. So it's certainly not getting any easier for the Winnipeg Jets early on this year, and they need to find a way to look at this game and rectify the litany of errors that they demonstrated throughout the course of tonight's contest. But you know, the first period, you know, they had their opportunities. We talked about it, a couple shorthanded opportunities when Dylan Sandberg was in the penalty box early in that, you know, 24 seconds into the game. Dave, he takes that puck over glass penalty, and the Jets arguably have the best scoring chance. As you mentioned, Mason Appleton, he's got an opportunity. He fans on the shot, nothing comes of it. And then Rasmus Kupari on a breakaway, he gets a step and he goes backhand, and Cam Talbot, who played very well for the LA Kings tonight, was equal to the challenge. You know, the Kings goaltending, I think, is the big question mark. One of the big question marks about that team tonight. But Cam Talbot, if he plays like how he played tonight, they're going to be fine in net. But because a Cam Talbot Phoenix Copley duo doesn't really excite anyone, but he definitely outplayed Connor Hellebuck, who was shaky again for a third straight contest tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's fans have reason to be a little upset and concerned and wanting to get some answers. I mean, Connor Hellebuck needs to steal games. And look, we'll go through the goals and we'll talk about it in the game recap about some of the defensive lapses, or, you know, it's some of the plays, like even on the Dubois one. And we'll, and like I said, we'll talk about it in a minute. But like, you're watching these plays and you're thinking, if the Jets get that puck, they have control of the puck. Dylan DeMello has control of that puck. If he gets it out of the zone, the power play ends and you don't have anything to worry about because out of the zone, everybody's clearing the zone. Instead, they ineffectively get it out and bobble the puck. And as a result, LA is able to make them pay. So to me, there were a number, it's not just on Connor Hellebuck. Jets fans are used to him stealing games.
Right.
And that's what he does. And he didn't do that tonight.
He's never been great to start the season though. I mean, again, it takes some time to ease his way in.
That's true. That is true. That is a fact, Drew. I did a fact check just now on you, it turned out true. So I think it is a fact that he is a slow starter. And look, I think that we're going to probably see Laurent Brossoit anyways tomorrow night, because you don't need Thursday him to night. be, yeah. Thursday night. Well, I guess I'm already thinking that today is tomorrow.
It's not quite midnight just yet. Yeah, you still got a couple hours, but
all right.
Got a couple hours still worth of work before the clock rolls into Wednesday.
True. If we're still talking at midnight, it's become one hell of an Illegal Curve post-game show. Let me tell you that. So yeah. Hopefully it's become, it's morphed into something, but regardless of that, the expectation I would think is that they'll give Laurent Brossoit. They were going to give probably Laurent Brossoit the start anyways on Thursday and then give Hellebuck a couple days off before they play the Oilers on Saturday. But now I just think you do that anyways. Just give him some time off to sharpen up in the practice and let Laurent Brossoit, who showed you that he's capable, go up against his former team. He'll probably have a little bit of a fun desire to beat his old club. So we'll see what happens there. But that's, of course, getting way ahead of ourselves. We have to still talk about this game, unfortunately.
Yeah, let's start by talking about this game as we do after each and every game with the Betway Game Recap.
The Betway Game Recap.
The Betway Game Recap brought to you by Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. With a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. As we mentioned, no score to start the game through 20 minutes, not for a lack of opportunities by both teams, including the Winnipeg Jets. But alas, no goals are deposited behind either goalie until the 11:01 mark of the second period. I guess before I get to that one, though,
yeah, I'm like, Drew, you just yada yada over the most important part of the game. What are you doing?
I did yada yada over it, and I apologize for that. I'm yadaing over the Gabe Vilardi injury that comes after he had only played three shifts in tonight's game. He'd grand total of 2:23. He goes down in the corner, in the midst of a bit of a puck battle with Blake Lizotte. Lizotte gets a penalty for tripping on the play. And it did not look good. Vilardi did not put a lot of weight on his leg as he got off under his own power, but straight down the tunnel to the dressing room, immediately ruled out by the Winnipeg Jets training staff. And as soon as we have an update on that, maybe from Jets head coach Rick Bowness.
No chance we get an update tonight.
Well, it would be unusual, but in any event, we will bring you Rick Bonus's comments tonight on the post-game show. So as soon as we hear anything along those lines, we'll bring you whatever we find out. But it certainly did not look good for Gabe Vilardi. I'm not a doctor. I'll take a look. But it certainly looked like a knee injury, a knee sprain, something to that effect. And the Winnipeg Jets team and brass are certainly holding their breath as a result of that play, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to speculate as to the nature of it, but I just think that there's enough internet doctors out there on Twitter to speculate. And I just think that it's a tough situation because you could see there was a lot of excitement from the Three Kings as they were the three former Kings to go up against their old teammates and get a chance to go up against those guys for the first time. And again, Iafallo played for them for 6 years and Kupari and Vilardi for four, both drafted, of course, in the first round by the Kings. So a lot of excitement and that's got to be pretty anticlimactic for Gabe Vilardi, who you could tell, like, he was pretty funny yesterday in practice talking about, like Paul Friesen of the Winnipeg Sun asked him a question about, if he's expecting anything. He's like, well, I'm a pretty nice guy. I don't think anybody's looking to hurt me or hit me. Well, maybe not. Maybe Blake Lizotte didn't feel that way. But yeah, I mean, look, it's definitely an unfortunate situation. And you're right, Drew. He got up, you saw it, and that was right underneath our section of in the press box. So it was right below where we were. And so you could kind of had to look over, see what had happened to Vilardi. And you could see that he was down. You're like, oh, it's not good. And then he gets up under his own power, skates off. But then, of course, as he goes down the tunnel and into the Jets room, he's being helped by the trainers. So we'll see what happens with him. And again, we'll hear the comments from Rick Bonus. I'm sure you're monitoring Twitter to see if there is anything that is so we can alert our audience as to that
Lower body injury. He'll be reevaluated tomorrow. So that's as you predicted, there was not going to be much of an update. But in any event, so it's a lower body injury, which again we all knew. And then as for the evaluation issue, that'll be something tomorrow. That we find out more about tomorrow. And again, Jets fans will certainly hope that it's nothing long term. But you know, it would be hard to believe it would be short term based on how he left the ice and was ruled out quickly. But who knows? Stranger things have happened.
Sometimes you don't want to exacerbate a problem. So you take a precaution like that just to make sure that you're not going to let it become something bigger. If it can be monitored, it maybe just cost you a couple of days as opposed to if you let him go back out there and play. So I think that it's one of those situations that, look, we'll find out. The Jets are practicing tomorrow at 12. And so we'll know probably close to 1:30, 2 o'clock. Of course, stay tuned to LegalCurve.com. We'll have that and our YouTube channel. If you folks have been noticing, all the Jets and Moose, we'll have both tomorrow. I've been doing double duty, has been posted on our YouTube channel. So be sure you're following YouTube, not just for this post-game show, not just for our Saturday show, but also for all the latest Jets and Moose content. We feature it on our YouTube channel. So make sure you're subscribing there, and we will have the comments from Rick Bowness, as we will tonight. We'll also have his comments tomorrow up on our YouTube channel. There's my little plug for the night.
What Dave is saying is all the comments, any comments, anybody who comments anywhere ever about anything, it might be on our YouTube channel.
Or illegalcurve.com. Either one.
Or illegalcurve.com. So that's the latest on Gabe Vilardi. No goals in the first period, as we mentioned. The LA Kings do open the scoring. It comes just after a power play ends. So it's not a power play goal. Morgan Barron was in the box for a phantom interference penalty. Yeah. Not great, not a banner night for the officials, as is more often than not in the NHL. But Morgan Barron in the box serving a penalty for interference. And just 5 seconds after the penalty ends, Pierre-Luc Dubois, of course, gets his first of the season assist to Anze Kopitar and Kevin Fiala, that coming at the 11:01 mark of the second period. As you mentioned, Dave, the Jets unable to clear. They're, you know, scrambling to get back to even strength, and Dubois is able to deposit one behind Connor Hellebuck to give the team from LA the first goal of the game.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's a bit of a comedy of errors because there are a number of guys who had the puck on the stick. I mean, I the one that sticks out to me was Dylan DeMello, because he had, I thought, a bit of a clear lane to try and get the puck out. He tried to rim it around the boards, and then he, of course, doesn't. And then LA keeps it in, and then they make the Jets pay. So it's an unfortunate set of circumstances. And, of course, the fact that Pierre-Luc Dubois is the guy who gets the goal. And it was a bit of an awkward situation, of course, because his parents were at the game. In fact, they're sitting like 10 seats down from us up in the press box. And so you're wondering what his dad Eric's reaction is going to be. Folks who are normally cheering him and his Moose on instead are booing his son. So not an unexpected result, although, as Pierre-Luc Dubois said, he's going to channel the folks saying Dube as opposed to boo. But they were definitely booing, and then it was a little awkward because they did a tribute to him. Sorry, Drew, we're backtracking a little bit.
Okay.
They did the tribute to him in the first period, but it was right after the Vilardi situation, relatively speaking, relatively quickly after, soon thereafter, I should say, to the Vilardi injury. So folks were kind of like in a muted,
But I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, even if the Vilardi hadn't been injured there, I don't think that Dubois was going to get some sort
ovation. I just meant more. It was more just, it just kind of felt like forced in while everybody's focus was like on Vilardi. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, here's the Dubois one. And then it was really weird because they showed Dubois on camera. Again, I don't know what they show on TV, but this is in the arena I'm watching on the Jumbotron. And they show Dubois, and you're kind of waiting to see if he's going to acknowledge the crowd, even though he's getting, it's kind of a mix, mostly boos, but some cheers. And then could have just been his parents, but the fact is they're getting some cheers, and then they're focused on him, you can see his facial manner. He's like, okay, like he's just kind of having fun with the bench. And then you're wondering if he's going to acknowledge the crowd. And then all of a sudden they cut to the crowd and they just show random, like two people randomly. I'm like, who are these two people? They have no connection to Pierre-Luc Dubois. It was just a random crowd shot during the ceremony or during the, whatever you want to call it, the little tribute video. So it was a bit of an unusual.
Did Did you see the tribute video last night in Columbus for Jonathan Quick?
No.
It was very funny because Jonathan Quick never actually, he was a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets after he was traded from the Kings last year and then traded to Vegas hour later. So he's the backup goalie for the Rangers. So the Rangers played in Columbus yesterday. So they had a tribute video to Jonathan That's Quick funny. Where everyone had a very good chuckle about it. We'd like to welcome Jonathan Quick. And he just shows him looking up at the screen and they're all just laughing. It was pretty well done. It was pretty funny. That one just sort of came to mind there is this, the tribute videos are a little overdone. I don't think every player needs a tribute video just because they once played a couple games in a town.
You mean like Kevin Stedland, who was like, I'm getting a tribute video. I played 54 games for you guys last year.
Exactly. We don't need to, enough with every player getting a tribute video. I don't think it's totally necessary.
We're giving Ezzy a tribute video, actually.
Well, if that means we get rid of him, I'll give him a tribute video. It could be a very long tribute video. No problem with that. So 1-0 for the LA Kings at that point in time. Trevor Moore makes it 2-0 at the 16:19 mark of the second period. This, again, coming just 20 seconds after a penalty ends. This is the one with Dylan Samberg after Cole Perfetti gets hit from behind. And Samberg comes to his defense, and yet somehow the Jets ended up with the penalty on this one, which resulted in the boisterous ref you suck chant. I really didn't understand this one. It was seemed like a pretty clear boarding penalty to me, yet for some reason the Jets ended up taking the penalty, and a few seconds afterwards it ends up with Trevor Moore making it 2-0 for the LA Kings.
Yeah, I mean, you have to deal with the reality that's in front of you. And if the refs are calling penalties, then you have to deal with that. And you can't, complain and say, oh, the refs are garbage or they were against us or, any of those other things. I mean, look, the Jets had a very good PK last year. And so they're, if you're a good team, you should be able to kill those penalties and use that as a as kind of incentive to drive you forward in the game. And the Jets didn't do that. And look, I don't understand the situation. I mean, look, it's pretty clear when you're watching the replay, although it was very unusual because in my mentions right after, of course, the end of the penalty, then Perfetti got another one, of course. Right. And then folks were saying that Perfetti dove into the boards. And it was like my Twitter mentions were a cavalcade of arguing about whether Perfetti dove or didn't dive or he ate face. And I saw, I don't know if you have the quote, Drew, from Cole Perfetti after the game, because he said something, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along the lines of like, you saw the video, like my face went right into the board. So I don't know how anybody is thinking that he dove. I mean, guys generally don't dive into the boards. Like they might fall down onto the ice, but I don't know how many guys are choosing to go face first into the boards, trying to draw a 2-minute power play.
Yeah. I don't think that's happening. I mean, I thought it was a penalty, but honestly, with these officials, who the hell knows half the time, and it doesn't matter. They made the call, and there was no penalty. So the Jets, killed off the power play. I mean, they were successful in that, but then very shortly thereafter, the Kings made it 2-0. So it's all for naught. You can look. The officiating wasn't the difference in tonight's game by a long shot. It was just one of those another peculiarities when it comes to NHL officiating. And I thought it was funny on the heels of that Athletic article from earlier today about all the coaches being gathered together in a Chicago boardroom and being told to improve their behavior when it comes to talking to the officials. Yet the officials themselves are never held accountable and never have to talk after a game regarding their decision making. So it's all just sort of part and parcel with how the NHL likes to I guess both protect their officials and settle for substandard officiating at the same time. And that's a league-wide thing. That's not a Winnipeg related sort of.
Well,
issue.
Yeah, because obviously the refs get moved throughout. It's not like you're always having the same ref officiating crew. So, I mean, the reality is you're not going to, every team has to deal with this group of refs. And so it is a problem, not just here in Winnipeg, but in pretty much across the NHL on any given night. And of course, folks are watching this market, so they're attuned to what's going on here in Winnipeg. But I suspect if you watched in any other market, the fan bases there are probably saying the very similar things about the officiating.
I would suspect you are probably right. We keep moving on with the Betway game recap. We'll bring you Jets head coach Rick Bowness coming up momentarily here on the Illegal Curve post-game show, so you can stay tuned for those comments. You don't have to go anywhere. I know how to get them on the screen as opposed to Dave and Ezzy. I'll have to teach you guys that. The remedial actions to get that up and running after I heard a bit of a debacle while I was off gala-ing it on Saturday afternoon.
By the way, how was that gala, Drew?
Well, you know, I'm a gala guy now. I'm a kind of guy who goes to a lot of galas. So, you know, if you need me, I'll be at a ball this coming Saturday. And then I believe there's a fair coming up next week. And maybe even...
there's a little lowbrow for you, Drew.
Yeah, you know, it's a fancy fair. It's not like a carnival fair. It's a fancy fair. Yeah. So you never know. You know, medieval maybe. I'm not entirely sure if it's a medieval fair or if it's a Renaissance fair. You just never know what's going to come up on my calendar. Is clearly the how it is now for yours truly. 2-0 for the LA Kings after 40 minutes. Trevor Moore, he makes it. Arthur Kaliev, he makes it 3-0. Mm-hmm. This coming at the 2:51 mark of the third period. And this is ugly all around from the Winnipeg Jets.
Forget about protecting the front of the net. That's so overblown. Who wants to protect the front of your net?
You know, Brendan Dillon is trying to knock down a bouncing puck by being a soccer player. And, well, he failed miserably on that one. And then he loses a puck battle behind the net. And Neil Pionk had pinched on this play. And nobody comes back to help him. And Perfetti is you know, getting sort of messed around with behind the Jets net. It was a bit of a comedy of errors. Mm-hmm. And when this puck went past Connor Hellebuyck, you knew that there was no chance the Jets were coming back in tonight's game. This was ugly all around. The second goal was ugly again. Not a great one from Nate Schmidt again, who continues to struggle. And I know that he's certainly got the white hot spotlight on him, and all of his struggles seem to be magnified early on in this year. And this one was an ugly one from Brendan Dillon and Cole Perfetti and Neil Pionk. And nobody's going to like this video review on this goal that made it 3-0 for the LA Kings, Dave.
No, absolutely not. I mean, this was, again, like I said, this was an abandoning ship situation where the Jets left the front of the net wide open, and you just can't do that. No. And so you don't really blame Connor Hellebuyck on this one, because I just thought that the Jets defensively were pretty abysmal, and they allowed, again, like I said, the grade A chance and ends up being a grade A goal. So, I mean, the Winnipeg Jets are down 3-0. And I agree with you, Drew, at that point. 2-0 felt insurmountable you can sometimes get a feeling from a game. You can kind of get a sense as to what's happening in a hockey game and whether a team can get back into it or not. And again, it doesn't mean you're always going to be right. If it was, we would just constantly be betting on these games, you know, in these micro bets. But I think what it ultimately comes down to is it didn't feel like the Jets had something, but had they been able to make it 2-1, okay, then you're thinking,
they had the opportunities on the power play. I mean, they had power play opportunities throughout the course of the game, and they were just never able to capitalize. And they had some good chances, and there were some good opportunities. I think it was it Josh Morrissey who rang it off the crossbar early.
Yeah, everyone thought it was in.
Yeah, everyone thought it was in. You know, they had some opportunities. So it's not for a lack of opportunities, but, you know, combination of Cam Talbot playing very well and the Jets just not being able to find the back of the twine. Compounded the issues and led to the 5-1 defeat. But
Drew, in the second period, the Jets had two shots. They gave them, they had two more, they had four in total, but the last two came in the last minute of the game. So, I mean, you had two shots in the first 19 minutes of a period.
Yeah.
How is that for push? You know, you're down 1-0, then you're down 2-0. And that's your idea of push. So you didn't have any push in the second period after having what I would say was a very good first period for the most part. You just weren't able to finish. And then the third period, you know, the LA Kings made it 3-0 after, I think it was 3 minutes into that third period. So as soon as they make it 3-0, you're thinking there's 0% chance the Jets are coming back in this one.
Well, 5-on-5, the Jets had 3 high danger chances, were credited with 3 high danger chances in the course of the game. And the possession numbers in the second period, as you mentioned, 80% in favor of the LA Kings. So they dominated. No, it's not. I mean, it's good if you're an LA Kings fan. Yeah, it's really good if you're an LA Kings fan. They're very happy with that kind of performance. If you're a Winnipeg Jets fan, less so in this instance, but it's just emblematic of how one-sided the last 40 minutes of tonight's game were.
The main thing, by the way, Drew, is an aside, and this is only game 3 of the season, of course, worth mentioning, but it is amazing to think that, like, how much like the ups and downs of watching sports are, right? I mean, after defeating Florida, even though obviously they allowed the Panthers to get back into the game and they played well against Calgary, everybody's excited. And now write them off. They're the worst team ever. Throw them all out. Throw the baby out with the bathwater. This team's terrible.
Well, that's why it's important that we are so good at doing this, so that people, even if the Jets are that terrible or that good, you know, the highs and lows of the Winnipeg Jets are going to ebb and flow throughout the course of the season. It's the consistency,
that
we bring to the table that keeps people coming back day after day, game after game. It's also our very cool little intro videos, which leads us seamlessly into this one.
The Seagram shot of the game.
It's not often that I give the Seagram shot of the game to the opponent, but in this instance, I'll give it to Trevor Moore, the fourth goal for the LA Kings, his third of the season. He had a great game tonight for the Kings. He had two goals and an assist. It comes at the 14:31 mark of the third period. It's one Connor Hellebuck doesn't want to let in.
No,
because it's a pretty well placed shot. So Trevor Moore gets this one. Assist goes to Mikey Anderson, and it's 4-0 for the LA Kings. A well placed shot over the shoulder of Connor Hellebuck, but from a distance away, and one that Hellebuck more often than not will make the save of. But yeah. Why not? He can. I don't know that Trevor Moore's ever had the Seagram shot of the game, so I'm sure that's quite a feather in his cap. Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for sponsoring that segment. Seagram's 83, of course, Manitoba's favorite Canadian whiskey. You can talk about the shot now.
No, I mean it's a shot that Connor Hellebuck should have saved. I mean, look, it's well placed.
Yeah.
And these guys have, unbelievable. The attention to detail was not there tonight, according to our colleague who is for some reason in the chat but unable to do the show. According to him, and I've got some breaking news, he was doing CrossFit and returning his books to the library, which of course is a library because he doesn't read books. So we know that
he doesn't do CrossFit either, I can assure you of that.
Exactly. Something tells me he and Spencey were out for the night. They're currently chatting in the chat right now. So look, I mean, it's a goal that you don't want to see go in. I would have suggested, though, that it was the game was over when the Kings made it 3-0. So at 4-0, you're just saying, well, that's insult to injury at that point. It makes Moore feel good. It makes the Kings feel good. And look, credit the Kings. I mean, even when they were up 5-0, and I don't want to get ahead of us, Drew, but the recap likes to flow in a certain manner. But I will say, you got to credit the Kings. They kept pushing. And they didn't sit back. I thought they sat back a little bit, but for what was interesting to me was that they continued to attack the Jets. And so you got to give LA credit because they coming in, of course, they hadn't won a game yet. This was their third game of the season.
They haven't had a lead yet. This was the first, the 1-0 goal was the first time that they had a lead at all this season.
Exactly. So, I mean, they actually had to fight back. They were actually almost came in 0-2 because they were down 5-2 to Carolina and actually had to tie it up 5-5. And then they lost that game in a shootout. So LA was coming in, not feeling great about themselves. Pierre-Luc Dubois was coming in, not feeling great about himself. He didn't have a point yet for his new club until he got, of course, his first goal, which, as you pointed out, was, I'm sure Jets fans were happy, was not the game winning goal. But regardless, it was not a great effort. And the Jets found themselves down 4-0. Off of that Trevor Moore shot, but again, like I said, that it was not a great goal by Connor Hellebuck to let in, but at that point it was already a moot point. The game was already over.
It certainly was at that point already over. Nonetheless, the Kings made it 5-0 before the Jets were able to get on the scoreboard. It was Philip Deneau on the power play at the 16:32 mark. Quentin Byfield getting the assist on that one. And then Mark Scheifele, he ruins the shutout for Cam Talbot. He deposits a rebound past the Kings goaltender, who certainly did not look happy about giving that one up. You never do when you got a 5-goal lead and you're on the verge of a shutout. Assist to Dylan DeMello and Vlad Namestnikov. Scheifele's hot start to the year continues as he's got a goal per game so far. And he showed some feistiness in that second period. you know, he you know, who knows it's going to last. And I'm not going to say it is going to last or it isn't going to last, but he certainly is, has not been disengaged this season whatsoever. Mark Scheifele showing a high level of engagement, you know,
as is Mark.
Appreciate that, Mark. Thank you for that generous contribution. Much appreciated. Giving us some.
That'll
some
go to money. Pay Ezzy's late fees, just so you know.
Yeah.
His library book late
fees. The library's got rid of late fees. There's no late fees in libraries anymore. Yeah.
Well, I mean, so I could. So the Tropic of Cancer that I took out in 1974, I can now return?
You can return it now, Bookman. You absolutely can. That was a change that the Winnipeg Public Library introduced. I don't know if it was a year ago or 2 years ago, but there are no more late fees. I'm not certain about the reasons behind it, but yeah. And as somebody, my wife is a heavy user of the Winnipeg Library system, along with our kids, so that I'm well versed when it comes to the ins there and outs and the intricacies of the library.
See, even I learned something new to this evening. I did not know that. Books, Jerry. Books.
Well, there you go. So there you have it.
Anyways, sorry, Drew, just to get to, I segued too far, but like getting back to your point, thank you firstly for Mark, but to getting to your point, yeah, you want to see Scheifele came to the defense of Cole Perfetti after we talked about it a little bit when he was feeling some feistiness after getting eating bored and somehow ending up in the penalty box with the instigator. And somehow after when he came out, he was feeling a little bit feisty. He did some, did a little chit chatting in the corner, in the King's corner. And then of course, Mark Scheifele came in and when he saw that Perfetti was getting manhandled by about three guys and threw it, was it Trevor Lewis? He threw down his former teammate. I don't know. It was, may have been Trevor Lewis, but regardless it was, and look, you want to see guys come up and battle for each other. You like to see that, you know, Mark Scheifele was willing to do that for Cole Perfetti. You like to see Dylan Sandberg came up and did that for Cole Perfetti. Dylan Sandberg got the worst of it, got a couple of really big shots to the face by England. Yeah. So he may want to talk deep to Jeffrey Viel in terms of learning how to throw a few punches. And well, Jeffrey Viel didn't exactly show that he knew how to block punches. He was just more thinking offense, not defense, but Sandberg may want to work on that a little bit. But the point is, good on him for coming to his teammates' defense when they see a play that they don't like. So in that regard, you want to see those guys standing up for each other. And you like to see Scheifele do that when he did that for Perfetti.
I have to say, we're going to go to break in a minute and then we'll come back with Rick Bonus. But I do have to say the fact that there's now in the live chat and that there's now a discussion about library usage in the live chat is fantastic. And the live chat continues to be just a great feature here on this program. So Craig Penner is saying that library budgets are determined by usage and eliminating fees promotes people to access the services. I love it. We're talking about the Winnipeg Jets. We're talking about library usage. We're talking about user fees. You never know what sort of civic related conversations are going to come up here on the Illegal Curve post game show. LA Kings victorious 5-1 over the Winnipeg Jets on this Tuesday night. When we come back, we're going to play you the comments from Winnipeg Jets head coach Rick Bonus. Don't go anywhere. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk. It's Tuesday night. It's 10:20 p.m. There's nowhere else you need to be. It's the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job, presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to rumorscomedyclub.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Boston Pizza harnessed Fanalytics to test if the game is better at home or at Boston Pizza. The results are irrefutable. Catch the game at Boston Pizza, powered by Fanalytics.
Are you dreaming of your very own backyard rink this winter, but dreading the work involved? Well, stress no longer, because the Rink Guys are here to make it happen. The Rink Guys are Winnipeg's first outdoor skating rink installation and rink maintenance service. The Rink Guys offer free site evaluation and different rink construction options. Plus, they use a custom-sized liner to prevent any damage to your lawn. Lighting packages are also available to help illuminate your rink during those long, dark winter nights. To get your rink started today, visit therinkguys.com. For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. We're back on the Tuesday night edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Fire's back, Drew.
Dave Manugel, thank God the fire's back. I was concerned about the absence of the fire.
When Gene Oakland is telling you that you're looking cold, you get that fire back.
You get the fire back up and running. Excellent news. Reassuring to see it back up there above your head. Reminder to everyone, smash the like button if you haven't already done so. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast. We do this after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. We do it also on Saturday mornings with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. So we'll next be added on Thursday night after the Jets and the Golden Knights. The Jets are going to look to bounce back on Thursday night against the defending Stanley Cup champions, team filled with people from Manitoba, as has been well documented. And again, Saturday morning, we're going to do it on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show at 9 a.m. And then we're going to end your Saturday probably just around midnight. So just as Saturday rolls into Sunday, a late night edition of the Illegal Curve post game show, I see after dark after the Jets and the Edmonton Oilers. Earlier tonight after the game, Winnipeg Jets head coach Rick Bowness met with the assembled media in the Matt Frost Media Center. Our photographer slash videographer Colby Spence was there and files this report and this audio and video from the Jets head coach.
There's no audio, Drew.
No audio?
There's no audio. I couldn't, nobody could hear anything.
Really? That's very odd, because I could hear the whole thing. So that's, it looks like we're back to the drawing board on that.
Well, hold on. I want to point something out, folks. I want to point something out. Drew was talking a big game. Obviously, I was hosting last show. Everybody, it was me and Ezzy and I, and we had some difficulty, and you folks watched it on our YouTube channel. And just remember, folks, we're just trying to make this more innovative for you. So we're trying to make this work for you. We're trying to make it work here. But Drew was maligning me.
Can you still not hear anything?
No, it sounds garbled.
Well, looks like it's back to the drawing board again. That's
really weird. I'm not going to say I'm happy, because, of course, it makes the show look like it's amateur hour at the Apollo, but I'm a little bit happy. I'm not going to lie to you folks, because Mindell was very cocky about the fact that Dave M was not.
Well, hang on. Could you not get the audio working on Saturday?
I couldn't even get the video up. I couldn't even get that up.
So I can get the video up.
La-dee-da, Mr. Gala. But it doesn't matter, because folks are pissed because they can see Rick Bowness. They can't hear Rick Bowness. Folks, just so you know. Now, Drew, just to clarify, were you hearing it okay?
Yeah, I was hearing it perfectly fine.
Interesting. Anyway, yeah. At least we know the sound is working, because then I was going to start yelling at Colby. I was going to text him, like, Colby, what kind of amateur hour are you doing here? But it sounds like it was a Drew Mandel problem, folks. And for the record, it was only a 3-minute chit-chat with the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. And again, that is on our YouTube channel after the show.
Go watch the video on that. You know, you can go listen to Dave and I ramble incoherently like we always do. And at the same time, you can go hear from Jets head coach Rick Bowness on our YouTube channel. That's really weird. I'm going to have to put on my technical, my IT hat and figure out why the audio isn't working, because based on everything that I've done, it should have been working perfectly fine. Also, share tab audio. That seems to be on, isn't it?
Drew, you know what? This is not the AHL. We're not here to learn as we go. This is not a developmental league. If you're not ready for the prime time here on the Illegal Curve postgame show, I mean, I'm sure there's other shows that can deal with this, but this is not something we should be dealing with during a live broadcast. That's all I'm going to say.
That's fair. I can accept that. I can accept that comment.
I do appreciate the fact that you're not giving up, that you wanted.
Is that helping at all?
No. Well, I mean, now it makes it sense, because before it sounded like it was like muffled. Now there's no sound at all. So I'll just continue to talk and we won't see anything, but we can see Rick Bowness. We can improvise and maybe say what we think he's saying, but it seems like we are 0-2. On the post-game broadcast.
Which is odd, because we used to do, like, we did this before with no problem. So I can't figure out for the life of me why I can't get it up and running.
Corey wants to know if there's any lip readers in the chat who can maybe help us. Stacy, at least, is still giving IC some love. She still loves us guys. So we appreciate that, Stacy, for the love, because, you know, IC, like the Jets, are not getting it done this evening. We have, we do have the coaches' availability. It is on the YouTube channel. It is on our, it will be on illegalcurve.com, but it won't be available to you on this broadcast, which is fine, Drew. There's other things we can do. 3 minutes of airtime can be filled by you and I. That's not an issue. I can do a Manuk Moose minute if you'd like. Whatever you want.
It's all good. On Thursday night, we'll have this settled, because I'm perplexed. I'm stumped. You know,
hey, you know, here's a crazy notion. Maybe we'll try this tomorrow.
No.
We'll run
practice
a test tomorrow,
ahead of time. No, we
and
never
then on
practice
Thursday,
ahead of time.
Be ready to roll.
There's no fun in practicing. Why would we do that? That would make us look somewhat professional and reasonable.
Spencey does say something good, though. All of this is a ploy to get us to stay on the YouTube channel after. Could be there. Could be that, Spencey, as my Baba used to say.
That, you know, he's not wrong about that. Why don't we do this instead? And I think the audio is going to work on this one.
The Tough Duck Hardison and Common.
I'll tell you what, if the audio didn't work on that, then I got real serious issues. But could you hear that one?
I could. And I also was laughing because Mark was asking for his super chat back after the disaster that has become this Illegal Curve postgame show.
No, Mark, once you give us money, you know very well that money's gone forever. That's going straight into the pockets of Dave and I and to the kids' college fund. Otherwise, what are we doing this for? The Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. You know what? I'll go give it to Kyle. I don't know that Kyle's won before, but we'll give it to Kyle. Meaning the Winnipeg Jets, went from President's Cup / Stanley Cup champions to the worst team in the league within 60 minutes. He loves Winnipeg. Kyle gets it. The tongue, a little bit of some biting sarcasm, I suspect, a little bit in that comment. But Kyle is going to be tonight's Tough Duck hardest hitting comment about the whiplash effect that we've seen over 3 games from the great performance in Calgary that didn't result in any points, to the win against the Florida Panthers, to tonight where the Winnipeg Jets resembled a bottom feeder. If you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes. That the same could be said for perspectives about the Winnipeg Jets. So Kyle, send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com. Or you can slide into my DMs @ICDrew, and we'll hook you up with a toque courtesy of our good friends at Tough Duck, the longtime sponsor of the Illegal Curve post game show. So big thanks to Kyle. Big thanks to everyone for all their comments throughout the course of tonight's episode. Lauren Persois on Thursday night. So how did the Jets bounce back? I'm going to assume that no Gabe Vilardi on Thursday night. For conversation's sake, let's assume that.
Yeah.
I would also then assume that David Gustafson gets put into the lineup. He's been the 13th forward. Could you see the Jets making some moves on the back end? could you see the defensive struggles that we've seen so far this year result in maybe a shuffling of personnel on the defense? Could we see Declan Chisholm get a game on Thursday night, albeit straight from the frying pan into the fire against the defending Stanley Cup champions? But tonight's performance was such that, not to press the panic button because it's game number three, right, but it would not be, I don't think it would be shocking from my perspective if you saw some lineup changes on Thursday night.
No, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment, Drew. And look, you're right. The question will be what happens tomorrow. We'll, like I said, we'll have it covered tomorrow morning / afternoon. We'll know in the morning if the Moose are lacking any players, if they've made a recall, if the Jets will have made a recall. And we will find out after practice at around 1:32. Well, the practice at noon, but again at 1:30 or 2 from Rick Bowness as to what the status is of Gabe Vilardi and whether they're going to make any recalls. Look, David Gustafson was fantastic in the preseason. He was scoring goals, the one thing he wasn't able to do all of last year. Right. And he was the, of course, I've been jokingly saying around the media that the last couple of days, how are they keeping out the preseason leading goal scorer, keeping him down and not letting him get into the lineup? Well, we'll see maybe if he can. And he's a guy who can help on the PK as well, of course, because he's very good in the penalty killing element of the game. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in that regard. And if they call up someone, if they make a recall from the Moose, it won't be Brad Lambert. I know a lot of people are hoping based on how he's looked in the first couple of games for the Manitoba Moose, but I don't think that they're going to want to do that. They know that he needs that experience playing center. And, maybe you want to give him that shot, play him on the wing. But I would suspect that for right now, the Jets see him developing with the Moose and getting that opportunity and really giving a player like, if you're going to give Gustafson the chance to get back into the lineup, and then you have a guy like you can call like a Toninato or one of the veterans to come up and play, be a 13th forward. And again, sure, we're speculating. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. So
I think it's the defense that's almost the more interesting.
No, and I was going to get to that, because to me, like, look, Chisholm's the guy who, he didn't have the best showing because, of course, he was dealing with an injury during training camp, which is unfortunate for him, but he's the kind of player, he's very much in that Ville Heinola mold of, he's bigger than Heinola, not by a significant amount, but he's offensive in that regard. And he's a very good puck mover. And that's the one area now the Moose are struggling in, because they don't have Heinola, Chisholm, and Gavanke. But so that is an area that Declan Chisholm could help this Jets team with, because it is an area in terms of making that transition and getting you want to play fast. You want to talk about getting chances off the rush. Well, you need to have the puck transitioned up quickly. And one of those things could be a player like Chisholm who can and does move the puck very well. And we've seen it. And look, do I think he can get comfortable? Two playoffs ago, he was the best defender of the entire group. That included Sandberg, Kovacevic, Heinola, and Gavanke. So he is a guy I don't think he's cocky. I think he's confident in his ability. And I think if he gets a stretch, we saw it in his debut when he played against the Red Wings. And I think if you give him a bit of a room, I think he can. He's improved his defense, and I think he can help the Jets in an area I think they need help in terms of getting that puck quickly up to the forwards.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I could see it definitely occur. You don't want young players to be sitting, more than they need to. You want to get guys, especially early in the year, into some games. And it's certainly not like the Jets defense has been, exceptional through the first three games of the season. And that, this seems like a perfectly fine opportunity to see what Declan Chisholm can bring to the lineup. And maybe he comes in and maybe he plays well enough and solidifies a role there. Because the defense for the Winnipeg Jets is still going to be the issue all season long. And if they can find some internal development, then, and if so be it, if that bumps out a more expensive veteran player out of the lineup, well, you know, you deal with that problem when it comes about. So it'll be interesting to see tomorrow at Jets practice what the roster, what the lineup's going to look like, and how the team moves forward for Thursday's game against the Vegas Golden Knights. Thank you, Tico Napoli, for your contribution to Dave and I being able to have some nice late night snacks. Your
library money
of $10, yeah, to pay off the non-existent library fees. Much appreciated there from our good friend Tico Napoli.
Always big thanks and big shout out to our friend Tico Napoli. Great guy, represents Transcona very well. Actually met Tico Napoli in Transcona because he was the winner of IC Gear very early, I think, in the last year. So I met him in.
But when he's there, he's just Pauly, right?
Yeah, no, of course. It's only when he's in Winnipeg, they call him Tico Napoli because they have to make that distinction. But no, when he's in Transcona, you just call him Pauly.
Yeah. Okay. Or T. We want to make sure that was clear for everybody involved.
Getting back to the point, but thank you, Tikona. It's what you're saying is we'll see what Rick Bowness, if his money, he can put his money where his mouth was, because he himself said, if the players play themselves into these positions, then it's incumbent on us to find space for them. So if you have a guy who can help your hockey team, the coach of this hockey club has said he's going to use them regardless of what it means for, you know, a veteran having to sit or something of that nature. So to me, that is a test that this team will have to overcome, because again, I think a lot of guys didn't play particularly well today. I thought a lot of guys struggled. Yeah. And so there's not one guy who you're looking at and you're saying, well, it was Nate Schmidt's fault entirely. Like, guys, Dylan DeMello didn't have a particularly great game. Dylan Sandberg didn't have a particularly great game. I think a lot of the defense is in that category of didn't have a great game. And again, it's one hockey game of 82. So you're not going to just, you know, fold the team up and not continue. Don't bother coming, Vegas. The team is done, because again, it was one game. And this is the same team that played a pretty good game against Florida and a pretty good game against Calgary. So, you know, two of the three games have been and again, they played one good period out of the three, and you have to play a full 60. And I understand that. And I'm not, you know, I'm not forgiving the lack in the last two periods that we witnessed tonight, because it wasn't great from that team. But I think to me, it's just not a one guy. Connor Hellebuck wasn't good, but numerous other guys on this hockey team tonight were not good, period. End of story.
There you go. End of story. That's how Dave decides to end tonight's Illegal Curve post-game show. Want to say a big thank you to all the sponsors of the post-game show, the Saturday show, the website. They make this all a possibility. Our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Betway, Zappia Group Realty, Linden Market Dental Center, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, The Rink Guys, Rollie's Transfer, and of course, these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. Frosty's put it up there on the board. If you or know of a company or have a company that should be a sponsor of Illegal Curve, send them our way. Drew@illegalcurve.com, Dave@illegalcurve.com. Let us know. We'll get in touch. We have a little bit of space left for some great advertisers to come aboard with us here at Illegal Curve Hockey. Big thanks to all of you for joining us tonight. Be sure to smash the like button. Be sure.
What are they going to do after the show, Drew?
They're going to go to LegalCurve.com, or they're going to stay on the YouTube channel and watch Rick Bonus.
They're going to stay on the YouTube channel because I haven't done the post-game recap because I've been doing the show. They'll stay on the YouTube channel, and maybe I'll have enough time, probably not, that after that they can go and read the recap.
There you go. You can do that. Well, I figure out why the audio didn't work. So that's something for me and Dave to work on between now and Thursday night. And we know that all of you will be back here on Thursday after the Jets and the Vegas Golden Knights. Same time, 9:45 thereabouts with the post-game show. I'll be here. Dave will be here. I think Ezzy will be here on Thursday night as well. So the triumvirate will all be back on Thursday night. In the meantime, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, and leave us some feedback here, there, and everywhere about this program, because we always like to hear what you have to say. Winnipeg Jets are defeated tonight by a 5-1 margin at the hands of the Los Angeles Kings. Remember, IllegalCurve.com, our social media, and our YouTube channel for all the latest news and audio related to the Jets and the Manitoba Moose. For Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Thanks for watching. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.